Lansdowne is one of Ottawa's most significant civic spaces, where the city comes together for sports, recreation, events, markets, and everyday public life. It's been a key part of the city since the 1890s, giving it deep historical, cultural, and heritage value. But while Ottawa has grown and changed rapidly over the years, the design of Lansdowne hasn't kept pace. What was built for a different era is now being asked to serve a modern city, including higher expectations for accessibility, more flexible and multi-use spaces, and the capacity to support larger crowds. These pressures have exposed real challenges in how the space functions day to day. At the same time, any redesign has to balance those needs with preserving the character and history that make Lansdowne unique. That tension between past and future, identity and function, is at the heart of the Lansdowne 2.0 design debate. This episode, Design and the Art of Compromise. In this episode of the Lansdowne Breakdown, we consider if the proposed redesign adequately addresses the range of civic concerns that have been raised, or whether it reflects a compromise shaped by competing priorities and urban design realities. I'm Laura Daw, and to better understand the issues, I spoke with City Councilor Stephanie Plante, as well as accessibility advocate Super Kyle Humphrey, to hear their perspectives on the proposed design and questions dividing the community. To best understand the design of Lansdowne 2.0 is to understand that it is a technical and complex urban project. It involves various interconnected design elements, including a stadium, civic facilities, housing, public space, and commercial areas within one integrated site. Each of these components has its own considerations, from accessibility to size and capacity to heritage preservation, transit, green spaces, art installations, and more. This means every design choice involves trade-offs. There is no one-size-fits-all. The reality is there is also urgency. The stadium stands and civic center are badly deteriorating, with reports of leaking ceilings, mold, insufficient insulation, and expensive heating costs. In this context, Lansdowne cannot wait much longer for a new design to break ground. City Councilor Stephanie Plante represents Rideau Vanier Ward. She voted to approve the project, and I asked her about what stood out for her in the design, particularly the idea of a mixed-use space and how it fits with broader trends in urban development. Councillor Plante told me that she was won over not only by any single feature, but by the overall idea of what kind of space this could be.
Most municipalities are going to this mixed-use entertainment district, sporting Brampton, Edmonton, Thunder Bay, and they're spending a lot of money to have these kind of multi-use spaces where you could have a concert one day, a basketball game the next day, a football game the next day, blah, 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 blah. So I liked the idea of this multi-use space that you could like do different things at. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad about there being a destination area for that in the city of Ottawa.
So what would a multi-use entertainment district look like at Lansdowne 2.0? Here's a few highlights. The proposal includes a new 5,500-seat event center, an 11,200-seat North Stadium stand, with three new residential towers. One of its most striking design features, proposed by the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, is what's being called the Arena in the Berm, a green roof that blends the building into the landscape of the Green Lawn, preserving sight lines towards the Aberdeen Pavilion. The design targets LEED Silver certification, with geothermal energy and EV charging built in. Environmental considerations are a central part of the proposal, but they are also one of the areas where the design is most actively debated. While the 2.0 design incorporates improved energy efficiency, reduced operational costs, and alignment with modern sustainability standards, there remain questions about whether these design measures adequately address environmental concerns for the site. For example, one Ottawa architect and writer, Tundra Sen, wrote an op-ed for CanadianArchitect.com, stating that touting the new facilities as designed to LEED Silver sounds nice, but it isn't ambitious. This is barely better than code minimum and ignores the impact of demolition. This may be one area where one size does not fit all and where compromise may be needed, particularly with financial implications. Shout out to episode one. When I asked Councillor Plante about the environmental dimension, she was clear that considerations were a priority and the design does incorporate them.
So if you read the new design that they have now, I'm not an expert at all of this, but like it's got like the LEED certification. So, you know, when we heat it, we're not spending a lot of money to try to heat it. There's environmental factors that are taken into account right now. It means it's not going to be as expensive to heat because we're using more modern technology. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really appealing to me because, you know, we have to kind of get with the times.
However, environmental considerations extend beyond building performance alone. They also include how the site itself is used and experienced. At Lansdowne 2.0, one of the most debated aspects of the design is the loss of green space. Councillor Plante didn't shy away from difficulties or compromise needed with that topic either.
So there is a loss of green space. Like, we have to just say the quiet part out loud. When I heard that, I went, okay. Yeah. You know, as someone who doesn't have a lot of green space, yeah. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So I had a motion passed to replace the green space. And the city now has to find an acre in the glebe and replace it.
Green space is only one part of the broader conversation about how that site will function. Another key issue is arguably one of the most important in shaping the day-to-day experience of Lansdowne. That is accessibility. Kyle Humphrey, also known as Super Kyle, is an accessibility advocate and wheelchair user who has attended events at Lansdowne for years. He also delegated the City Council during the Lansdowne 2.0 process. Let's hear directly from Kyle about how the current experience is and why this is a topic of civic urgency for Lansdowne 2.0 and beyond.
I got there and I believe every single wheelchair seat except for two was full. And I had to go to security and go, what do I do? Where do I sit? What do I do? And I ended up going to gate one because everything accessible is that way. But the lineup was out the front gate. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, if I'm missing out on this now, and it's taking me longer to go in the front door because of this, then like, why am I segregated? And that's really what it comes down to, is inclusion.
While the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group's proposal commits to meeting accessibility standards, accessibility advocates continue to stress that compliance does not always equal usability in practice. The 2.0 design has been part of a broader discussion around how easily different parts of the site can be navigated, particularly during high-capacity events, as well as questions about changes to arena capacity and what that means for inclusion and access. For Kyle, the concern is about how people experience the arena in particular.
I am disappointed in the fact that it does have to shrink. You know, with the rest of the fans, I am 100%. Why did we have to lose a number of seats? Why did the entire space get smaller or have to get smaller? It just came down to now more people are missing out, for me as well. And I just want to make sure that people are you know, still going to these places, still going to major touring artists and that sort of thing.
Kyle argues that accessibility can't just be a checklist item. It needs to be built into how a city makes design decisions from the very start. He explained what that could mean beyond the Lansdowne 2.0 design.
I know for a fact that there is nobody that is actively paid to do accessibility in Ottawa. There's no one who's actively paid to look at all of the flaws that happen around the city. I want to make sure that we have maybe an accessibility counselor, if that's what it takes, because at the end of the day, that's its own demographic. I think people who use mobility devices and people who rely on physical accessibility, that's their word.
Kyle's perspective highlights a recurring theme in the podcast series, that Lansdowne 2.0 does not offer the perfect solution for every concern, but that it should reflect the needs and experiences of the people who use the site.
Doing better doesn't start until we include all of the voices, and if all of the voices aren't on an equal playing field, then what are we doing as a society?
If you want to follow this project and have your say, visit engage.ottawa.ca. The conversation is still ongoing. Next time on the Lansdowne Breakdown, Brady looks at the community aspect of Lansdowne 2.0. You won't want to miss it. This episode was written and hosted by me, Laura Daw. Our guests were City Councillor Stephanie Plante and Super Kyle Humphrey. Special thanks to our team, Andrew Stewart, Brady McKay, and Caroline Worcester, a student production for MPAD 3003B at Carleton University. Thank you for listening.